The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Warm welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Glorious Goodwood is well underway and we're looking ahead to the fourth day of action from Friday on this podcast, a 7 race card for us to look forward to. My name is Sam Norris and I'm joined on the line by Jamie Lynch. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm good, thanks, Sam. We're in the middle of Goodwood. It's been a great meeting so far and I think the best is probably still to come. We'll talk about Friday's racing in a bit more depth. But yesterday, i.e. Wednesday, great day's racing, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a fantastic day's racing. The three big races of the day, which of course we previewed earlier on in the week, and you had certainly some success with the latter two. But the first of those, the Gordon Stakes, taken down by Snow Sky, that one for Sir Michael Stout and James Thor. What did you make of that race? It was an interesting race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a collection of sort of second-rate three-year-olds, and that was borne out largely by the result. It was a bunched finish, wasn't it? I don't think there's a top-class horse amongst them. And the Gordon Stakes is a recognised St. Ledger trial. I'd be doubtful whether any of those, including the winner, Snow Sky, is going to be good enough to cut it in winning terms at Doncaster. Snow Sky, yeah, I mean, he's got a good background, a good pedigree. He's certainly going the right way. But a defeat of essentially a good handicapper in Windshear with a non-staying somewhat back in third, I think it was just an ordinary renewal of the Gordon Stakes. And I'd be surprised, Sam, if any of those were up to impacting on the big day at Doncaster next month.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a top-class field that we would have liked. What can you put that down to, Jamie?
I think that it's just that we've got some really big guns amongst the three-year-olds so far this season. And you'll find that just the Gordon Stakes hasn't quite got the pulling power this season relative to other years as well. The Gordon Stakes is really the home of the improving young horses who are chancing their arm in group company. Some of them are destined for better things in some years, and the Gordon Stakes has got a rich history of horses on their way to brilliant things. But this year's renewal, it was just the best of the rest in terms of the three-year-olds, much of a muchness, and you'll find that one of the big guns turns up at Doncaster, a horse who ran in the Derby or the Irish Derby, or certainly with a classic background. None of these have essentially a classic background, and I'm afraid to say that none of them, for me anyway, are on their way to a classic in terms of Doncaster. There'll probably be a few turn up. Snow Sky, Windshear, even Cloudscape, who finished fourth staying on. You wouldn't be surprised if any of those three ran at Doncaster in the St. Ledger. But by the same token, I think that each of those stables represented have got bigger guns to fire when it comes to the main event. So it was a good renewal, but it wasn't really one of those renewals where it's a stepping stone to great things, I don't think.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a good point then. We'll move on to the highlight from yesterday's racing, of course, the Sussex Stakes. And they were taking along at almost a laborious pace for a lot of the race. Didn't really start racing until about 2 furlongs out. It was an intriguing tactical display, really, from Richard Hughes on board Toronado. But ultimately, Kingman showed his devastating turn of foot once more.
Yeah, how on earth do you beat Kingman? There was clearly a plan laid down, not only by the Hughes-Hannon combination, but also by Aidan O'Brien, whose horse Darwin was the one who set the pace, and as you said, sedate, almost funereal pace. And the aim was to either try and get Kingman to race freely and not settle properly, and or to take a few lengths out of him as the race began in earnest. That's exactly what happened, because Richard Hughes aboard Toronado was the first to act, and he definitely got a couple of lengths clear of Kingman, who, for his own misdemeanours, just took a while to really knuckle down, to find full stride. You could see him change his legs at a vital stage. It looked momentarily as if Kingman might struggle, but then the big engine really kicked in. He went through the gears and he won very causally. You could argue it was to some extent a triumph for Toronado and tactics, because the impression was, Sam, and the way we talked about him beforehand, Kingman is and will continue to be a much better horse than just a length relationship between him and Toronado. But that's all he beat him by yesterday. It disguised Kingman's true potential. If anything, it flattered Toronado's relationship to Kingman. But as you said, one of the key races of the whole season and an intriguing tactical battle. The question is now, how on earth do you try and beat Kingman?
Yeah, absolutely. It didn't look as though they could have done anything else. And there was a point in the race where he took a couple of lengths out of Kingman, and it almost looked as though he wasn't going to catch him up. But once again, just a fantastic display.
Yeah, to give a horse like Toronado, who's a star miler, a couple of lengths with only a furlong and a half to go, you've got to be a serious animal. You've got to be not only a great miler of this age, but almost any age, in order to catch Toronado. And Kingman did it. He did it causally. He needed only one tap of the whip to come through and get the job done. And the only time he's been beaten in his life, let's not forget, was that one time at Newmarket in the 2000 Guineas. It's almost surprising and almost baffling how Kingman was beaten that day. But maybe that's the secret to it. The Newmarket 2000 Guineas was run at an end-to-end gallop. It really tested stamina by the end. And perhaps that's where one idea of beating Kingman is not to go slow and try and out-sprint him, but to go really hard and try and outstay him. So there are still irons in the fire regarding the QE2, the big end of season target. But as far as Hughes and Hannon team are convinced and concerned, they must be pulling their hair out. They've tried beating him with various different horses under various different tactics. And Kingman really does look a step up on any other miler out there now. So he's been one of the star shows, probably for me, the star headline act of the whole season. And it was good for me, good for racing, and good for John Gosden and James Doyle that he came through in the finish.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly was. And the third race that we'll just quickly look back on before we come to Friday's action is, of course, the Vintage, taken down by Highland Drill. And I know you were very keen on him when we spoke earlier on in the week. He's now been installed with us here at 14-1 for the 2000 Guineas and 10-1 for the Derby. I know you mentioned those races earlier on in the week. Has this just confirmed your thinking?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, we got this horse who was coming into Goodwood from winning a Gower and Maiden. Now, he won that race by 12 lengths at Gowran. And the time suggested, the way he did it suggested, and the way the form was worked out had suggested this was a serious horse and probably a classic horse for next year. And we did discuss, didn't we, Sam, that a few of the more shrewd, switched-on brains here at Time Form had already bought their ticket on him for both the 2,000 Guineas and the Derby. And he did very much what we expected him to do yesterday, defeating Tupi by a very comfortable 2.25 lengths, probably over inadequate trip, a too sharp a course, and it's going to be ideal for him as well. So he sort of overcame circumstances. You saw it, I saw it, everyone saw how easily he did it. He's a fine physical specimen. He's got the pedigree to go a long way. And we're looking now at the big back end Group 1 races to see which one he tackles, which one singled out. I wouldn't be surprised if he went back up in trip for the Racing Post Trophy at Doncaster, where the galloping track and the straight mile will show him to all the more positive light. So I think that yesterday we saw the star three-year-old of this season in Kingman. We might just have seen the star three-year-old for next season in Highland Reel as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to watching his progression. Next up on the podcast, then, we'll take a glance at Friday's action. Four races for you to look at on Friday, and hopefully we can point you in the direction of some winners. The first up is the 155 Glorious Stakes Group 3 contest. Here's over 1.4 furlongs. And Hilster leads the betting at the time recording at 2-1. And it's got a touch of the second-itis, this horse, I think. Second on his last three starts, although one of them wasn't exactly a close-run thing, beaten by 7 lengths by Telescope in the Hardwick at Royal Ascot. Does this horse have appeal for you?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves to be favourite, definitely, given his profile. And the horses who he's finished second to on his last three starts, you mentioned Telescope, he's also gone up against Brown Panther and Cavalryman on the other two occasions. Pretty unlucky not to be Cavalryman at Newmarket last time out. But you're right, he's got this reputation and gaining a habit of being the Neely horse. He needs to shed that tag. And as a horse who's more used to finishing second than winning, as a short price favourite or a shortish price favourite, in a really good field as well. There are several in here who could bounce back or who could step up. So Hillstar, he'll definitely give his running. He'll definitely be thereabouts, but will he manage to have that end product that so far this season has been missing? I think that he is just letting Sir Michael Stout down a little bit in terms of the expectations and the hopes that were held for him. He finds himself in a Group 3, probably the easiest race he's tackled all season, but there is a question mark about his will to win and just that extra end product that has so far been missing this season.
Okay, if you were to take Hillstar on, then if you think he can't quite get his nose in front once more, who would you be looking at?
The fascinating horse in here is undoubtedly Enker, the St. Ledger winner from 2 years ago. Now, he missed the whole of 2013 for obvious reasons because of the whole drug scandal that surrounded Godolphin back at that time. He was had the St. Ledger taken away for him from the ban because he was under a banned substance there. And it just raises so many questions. Was that a true reflection of him? How has he been since then? You know, it's almost back to the very drawing board for Enke. And although even prior to the St. Ledger, he's got the ability to play in this league. He was second in the Gordon Stakes at this meeting in 2012. There's just huge question marks about where this horse is at right now, and you can't help but feel that the watching brief is the only way to go with Enke in the Gloria Stakes. But there is a horse here who's closely tied in with Hillstar, and that's Pethers Moon. Now, Pethers Moon, the last twice, has finished behind Hillstar, but he's finished close behind him, beaten ahead at Ascot in the Hardwick, just behind him, and then just half a length between the two at Newmarket. And Pethers Moon is definitely a horse on the up, whereas Hillstar is a horse who, for now anyway, is going sideways. And Pethers Moon does have one big plus point in his favour compared to Hillstar, and that's that he's won at this track, Sam. He won at the Glorious Festival 12 months ago, the big three-year-old handicap on the Saturday, and he acted on the course really well. And it brings us to another point with Pethers Moon, which might just give him an advantage over Hillstar. He's got the track craft, and also he might have the tactical edge, because look at the field. There's no obvious front runners amongst the eight horses here. All of them like to be held up in some shape or form, but Pethers Moon has got a history of going from the front. That Goodwood race we were talking about, he was banged there. On two other occasions last year, he made all the running. So he might have a tactical edge. He'll definitely have an edge in terms of course experience, and his form, as been proven by the last two starts, is very close to Hillstar. So for me, under these circumstances, in what could easily be a tactical race, Sam, I think the Pethers Moon might be the one to take down Hillstar.
Okay then, fair enough. Couple against the favourite there for Jamie. Pethers Moon available at 9-4 at the time of recording, and Enke in the betting at 4-1. Next up on the podcast, we'll take a look at the 2:30 Thoroughbred Stakes. This one, Group 3 over a mile. Shifting Power leads the market at 7-4. 4-1 Lightning Thunder, 5-1 Bow Creek. Rapprochement is 8-1. 8-1 Wanna Be Yours, and 9-1 bar those. Shifting Power, of course, tops the market here after a decent looking second in the Irish 2000 Guineas behind Kingman, which I think we can forgive him for. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on with this race. It's a fascinating race in terms of the profiles of each horse. And there's certainly a class divide right now, because we've got some classic form represented, and then we've got the horses who are graduating from handicaps trying to chance their arm in group races with good reason. So let's talk about Shifting Power first and foremost. He is undoubtedly the standard setter. He's banged heads with Kingman not only in Ireland when he was second, but also at Newmarket when he was fourth in the 2000 Guineas. Last time out in France in another Group 1, he was second, well, promoted second, actually finished third, but was given second due to some interference that happened late on. And it's a big drop in class for Shifting Power, isn't it? He's been unbeaten in his first three starts of his career. On his last three, he's running Group 1s. And now he's back down in grade with the form and with the weaponry to win a race such as this. Now, you just look at the tracks that he's raced on. Sandown, Newmarket, the Curra, all big galloping tracks. And generally, he hasn't faced quite as quick ground as he will at Goodwood here on Friday. So there's a couple of question marks against him. How will he handle a track? How will he handle a track in conjunction with very fast ground? And also, despite that classic form that we've talked about, in actual ratings terms, he's not that far ahead of the opposition. So although I'm presuming and thinking he's going to be a strong favourite, there are reasons for thinking he's vulnerable here.
Okay, then if he is vulnerable for this race, are you looking at the next two in the betting to take him on? Is it Lightning Thunder at 4-1?
Well, Lightning Thunder is obviously the female version of Shifting Power to a large degree. She's got the classic form, runner-up in the Irish Guineas, also runner-up in the English Guineas at Newmarket. Last time out was a backward step in the Coronation Stakes at Royal Ascot, but a forgivable one. That was a tactical, messy race, and she just wasn't seen to full advantage there. It's just in the back of your mind, Sam, isn't it, that has she missed her window of opportunity as far as winning a group race? Because she went really close at Newmarket, probably should have won there, just got going too late. Didn't really have a chance with the O'Brien horse at the Curra, but she might just be over her peak, where there's a few of the others actually coming to their peak. And we must talk about the top one here, Bow Creek, because this is a horse who's very much in the zone right now. Look at who he's trained by, Mark Johnston, the man who does so well at Goodwood, as he's proven again this year. And Bow Creek is a horse who's actually, his form is close to those who've run in Group 1s, because look at how well he ran in the Britannia. He carried top weight in a 30 runner field, and there was only one horse out of all 30 born in Bombay who was able to beat him. That was a sensational run under a big weight, almost underestimated by the betting what his performance level was there. And don't forget also that that wasn't necessarily out of the blue, because prior to that, in the D Stakes, he finished second in a listed race to Kingfisher, Aidan O'Brien's horse, who actually was runner-up to Australia in the Irish Derby. So Bow Creek has got a level of form, and more to the point, he's in the thriving zone right now. He's been given a break after Royal Ascot. He's an uncomplicated horse. He can go from the front. That's ideal for Goodwood. He's got a good draw, and he represents a team, Mark Johnston and Joe Fanning, that absolutely thrive at Goodwood. So Bow Creek, his form is actually close to Shifting Power. He's only a couple of pounds behind on time form ratings. And also, he's a very straightforward horse, and he's very much in the zone right now.
OK then, Bow Creek, the one for Jamie there, the 5-1 shot at the time of recording for the 2:30. Move on then to the next race on the podcast, which is the 3:05 over a mile Class 2 contest. There's a 20 runner field here. Jamie, where'd you start?
Where do we start? Where do you start with a 20? You start, Sam, by getting out your prayer mat and hoping and praying that the horse you back, A, has the luck in the running, and B, is on form, because this really is a lottery. But let's start with a horse who ticks several boxes. That's number 10, Magic City, because he's time form top rated. He's got an excellent, in fact, he's got an outstanding Goodwood record. He came to the track 3 times last year. He won on all 3 occasions, including at this meeting. And when a horse acts so well at Goodwood as Magic City does, it's only natural that plans are made around that same track again. And that's very much the feel for this year. The idea is that he's been building up to this day, the Betfred Mile, the very valuable handicap at the track that he loves and that he comes to life at. And last time out of Salisbury was a big step back in the right direction. It was a good portent for this race. It was over a mile, the trip of this valuable handicap. He came from the back of the field against the front running the Rectifier, ran him to a length well clear of the rest, and the sign was that day that this horse was really coming to the boil, and he's coming to the boil at exactly the right time. And just his whole season, Sam, has probably been built around this. It's working backwards from the glorious Goodwood Festival and building up to that. And in the meantime, his handicap mark has slipped back down. So he's off the same mark that he won his last of his 3 Goodwood wins last season. He obviously represents the Hughes-Hannon combination, which is ideal. He's got a very fair draw as well, because the draw is brutal, especially at the mile track round here, because you're straight into a bend. You need to be drawn low just to give yourself half a chance of getting in the mix. And his draw is agreeable to the sort of horse he is and to just the tactical edge. Just give Richard Hughes some options. So Magic City, in what is obviously a hugely competitive race, he's at least, Sam, number 1 on my very long shortlist.
Yeah, I can imagine that shortlist is anything but short. Taking Magic City then as the main selection. But if you had to pick out one more for a bit of an each-way prospect?
Well, there's one at a big price who has got the talent to impact in this race, Pastoral Player. There's loads of risks attached with him because he is a tricky customer, to say the very least, and he's a 7-year-old now. He's not going to be getting any better, but he has got some very classy back form, and he is a horse who might just be stimulated by going round a bend at Goodwood in a big field. It was only 2 starts ago in the Buckingham Palace Stakes at Royal Ascot that he shaped really well. He was only 10th overall, but he actually was first home on the far side, and it looked that day as if this horse was coming back to some form. He took a sideways step at Ascot, back to Ascot last time for the valuable handicap, but he was poorly positioned as that race went. And it's just about this horse. He's certainly got the ability to impact in a handicap like this. He's got group race form going back in the day, and a strongly run race around a bend, trying something new in terms of the trip, also with a £7 claimer on. You might just find Sam, the Pastoral Player, if he's on a going day, he's going to outrun his odds, and he might just outrun his odds and hit the first 4. So for an each way bet, albeit a risky one with high risk attached, Pastoral Player, I just like the profile. Low draw, trying something new, classy background, strongly run race. They all, they're all exactly what pastoral player needs, just to stimulate him. And if he is fully motivated for this day, then not only could he finish in the first four, he could easily win it given his level of ability going back.
Okay then, fair enough. The each way selection then for Jamie in that one, possibly at a big price. We'll move to the last race on the podcast today, the 340 from Goodwood on Friday. Group 2 contest, this one, the King George Stakes, probably the highlight of the day. And Extortionist leads the market at 4-1. Tropics is 6-1. Movistar, who obviously won the race last year, he's available at 7-1. Clipped in from 9-1 when the market opened. Money for that horse has rather gone off the boil since he won this race, Jamie.
Yeah, but we're back to the sort of Magic City argument of a horse who goes really well at Goodwood and probably has his season planned around a specific race at Goodwood at the Glorious Meeting. And that's probably the case again with Movistar, who, as you say, blitzed the field in sensational style in this very race last year. Now, you look at his three runs this year, and his first one in the Palace House Stakes, that suggested that all of his enthusiasm, all of his speed and all of his ability was intact. He finished fifth, but he was right on the heels of Hot Streak, of Kingsgate Native, of Stepper Point. Two of those three horses are in the field against him here. Soul Power won that race, and obviously since then, Movistar has been banging his head in top class company, last time out in the July Cup. He did show some of his old speed. He'd been off for a couple of months prior to that, and he wasn't knocked about as he got tired in the finish. It just smacked of a horse who was being lined up for another big run at a track and in a race where he excelled himself last year. So I can totally understand the money for Movistar already being clipped in, but there are other ways I'm going for, Sam, for a winning bet.
Okay, then talk us through that then. Who's really caught your eye in this one?
Well, the horse who's really caught my eye for this race and for most of the season is G-Force, number 12 on the card. It's easy to underestimate just how young and how developing this horse is. He went into most notebooks around the country. I don't know whether people have notebooks, e-notebooks they probably have now, but when he won that handicap at York by 2.5 lengths in a 19-runner field, he looked a group horse in the making. Since then, it hasn't really happened for him, but there's been excuses. At Sandown in a listed race, when he was 5-4 favourite, the race developed away from where he was drawn. Couldn't do any better than third that day. And then at York last time, just a reminder that he is still very much a work in progress. He dwelt at the stalls, and that cost him a length. It probably cost him the race because he just couldn't catch Take Cover. Take Cover's another horse who comes here looking for group race glory. He made all the running that day at York. G-Force couldn't catch him, but it brings us to another point about the whole race. Look at the amount of speed on in here. Take Cover is just one of several front runners. We've got Caspian Prince. We've got Hamza. We've got Stepper Point, who we've mentioned, Take Cover, who we certainly mentioned, and Demora as well. All of these horses are going to ensure it's fast and furious. And that, for the first time, I would say, since that York win, is going to show G-Force in his true light. So G-Force is a horse who's still certainly got something up his sleeve. We haven't seen the best of him yet. How do you get the best out of him? Well, what he wants is a very fast track on very fast ground with a very fast pace. And he's got all those three combining here. G-Force, for me, is the horse who could well burst onto the scene and announce himself a proper group race sprinter in this King George Stakes.
Okay, then that looks set to be an exciting renewal. And Jamie's selection is G-Force, available at 15-2 at the time of recording. If you could just remind us one more time, please, Jamie, of your four selections for Friday's racing from Goodwood.
Yeah, four selections for Friday. In the Glorious Stakes, the 155, Pethers Moon, who's got the form to take a big hand, and he might just have that tactical edge in what looks to be a steadily run race. In the 230, we're going for number one, Bow Creek, who's the up-and-coming horse graduating from handicaps against those with classic form. 305, probably I'm having two bets here, at least two, Sam. Magic City in win terms, the horse with an excellent Goodwood record. And then, as a lively outsider, as a left-field selection, Pastoral Player each way. And finally, the 340, the King George Stakes, the horse who I still have great faith in, G-Force. I think that the King George Stakes might well be his coming-of-age day.
Okay, good stuff. Then there we go. The thoughts of Timeform's Jamie Lynch on Friday's action from Goodwood. Remember, you can catch all of it right here on William Hill's Racing Radio. Mick Norton, Andy Holding and Ollie Pimlott are in the studio for all the action from Goodwood, Thirsk and Bangor, with the evening cards from Bath, Musselburgh and Newmarket. There's also Irish Racing from Galway. It's the fifth day of their festival. But in the meantime, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, Jamie, and I hope you look forward to the racing on Friday.
Thanks, Sam. Fingers crossed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.